Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. God bless you. Welcome to Mind Christ Covenant Broadcast. We thank and praise God for His grace and His mercy. We magnify the Lord for His goodness. We count it all joy. We realize that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, tell us where would we be on tonight. We honor and praise the Lord for what He has done, for what He's doing even now in our lives. We thank and praise God for how He has kept us yet another week. Amen. So many tragedies, so many things have transpired and taken place, but we're grateful tonight, amen, that God has shown mercy unto us, amen, allowed us to live to see another day. We're thanking and praising God that, amen, we're praying for those that we're able to pray for those, amen, who have lost loved ones, who have lost homes, family, have lost possessions, amen, have lost just their sense of living, their will to live. Amen. We're praying God's strength for you. Amen. We're asking the Lord to intercede, intervene even now in your behalf. Amen. He is a God that's able to lift up the hung down head. He's a God that's able to dry up every weeping eye. Amen. And He said that He would replace the sorrow with joy. Amen. That He would turn your sorrow, our sorrows, into gladness. And on tonight, we're thanking and praising Him for, amen, just knowing that He's God all by Himself, amen, that He holds all power in His hand. We serve a living God tonight. The God that we serve is the true and living God. Many people serve different idols and worship different things and idols, and they idolize different people. But there's only one true and living God. Amen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. The God, the same God that created in the garden, the same God that said, let there be, and it was, just from His spoken word. Amen. Amen. Just from His spoken word, the elements responded to God's command, and they obeyed His call. Amen. And as we read on, we find in there that there were those that did not obey the command that the Lord had commissioned and given to them. And because of their disobedience, amen, they're waiting in bondage and in chains for the great day. But on tonight, we're thanking God that we have a right. Because of Christ, we have the right to enter into His presence. I said, because of Christ tonight, it is by His blood that we're able to even go into the presence of the Lord. For we are covered with His blood. In His blood, amen, that our sins are forgiven, that our sins have been washed away. Because of this, we have a right to the tree of life tonight. My brother, my sister, in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what you're going through, in spite of your situation, amen, things can be worse. And I share with you tonight from experience. Talking from experience tonight, and you're listening to someone who's been there, who has lost everything. And I mean everything. Stripped down to nothing. Left for dead. And as I was stripped down to nothing for tonight, that the Lord showed grace on me. He did not allow me to be consumed or swallowed up by my enemy. But as they threw me out of the city dead for dead, they threw me right at the feet of some praying, Holy Ghost-filled men of God who was able to reach down and pick me up and to mend my wounds, to encourage my heart, to re-strengthen and to encourage my spirit, and to confirm the feeble knees, just as the word of God said. The Bible says, when your brother or your sister, when one is overtaken in a fault, which means that ye that are spiritual, you go to them.
and you restore such a one. Because you're doing it, and so doing that, you consider yourself. There may come a time or a day when you're going to need someone to pray for you. There's going to come a time and a day when you're going to need someone to reach down or to reach out, even to give you a helping hand. So I encourage you tonight, don't turn your nose up to no one or turn your back on anyone, but keep your hand in God's hand. As your day will come, to keep on living. But I want to go to the Word of God on tonight, just for a few moments, if you will. The thought came, step in faith. The thought came earlier this week to step in faith. And as I begin to kind of read that more and research that a little more, there were several scriptures that did come to me, that did stand out to me. But I wanted to just say, I wanted to find something, to get something that would be wholesome and solid, that would hit the nail, as they say, right on the head, because I wanted just to stick with you on this week. We have to learn to step in faith. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of the story of Abram, when God spoke to Abraham and told him to get out from among his people. And when Abraham left, he knew not where he was going, because the Lord God had not revealed to him just yet. He told him just to go and to get out from among your people. Just go. So Abraham had to step in faith, not knowing what lies ahead, knowing that there was desert and terrain that he must travel through, heat and dryness, possible shortage of water, not knowing, but not just him alone. And I can imagine Abraham saying, if it was just me, okay, no problem. But it's not just me, but me and my family. A few of my family members, and some sheep, some oxen, some cattle, some of my livestock, some food that we may be able to eat, sheep, some lamb. But to travel and to go a place that I know not, that's a step in faith. The Word of God tells us tonight that we must walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to learn how to lean and depend on Jesus. Not just because it sounds good, or because a brother or a sister or a mother and father has done it, but because we have developed our own personal relationship with God. See, the Bible declares to us and lets us know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we're going to walk with God, we've got to lean and depend on him. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to have faith in him. We've got to trust in him. How can you walk with someone, the scripture says, unless, how can two walk together except they agree? In other words, how can two be in the company with each other, keep company and hold the conversation and entertain one another, except they have like-mindedness, or something in common, or something they can talk about, something that they can converse about. You understand? It would be quite difficult for someone of a very eloquent and educated status to try to hold a conversation with someone who is very uneducated and unlearned. The conversation will run short, if any. But we've got to learn tonight to trust and depend on Jesus. In our trusting in him, we're learning who he is and what he is to us. We're learning who he is and who he can be to us. For in our daily walk, in our daily experiences, the Bible declares and lets us know that in this life we're going to have trouble. Yeah? We're going to suffer persecution in this life. Mm-hmm. But he said, count it all joy. Mm-hmm. Count it all joy. He said, when these things and you fall into diverse temptation and test, he said, count it all joy. He said, because knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Mm-hmm. And it is in the patience that we possess our soul. It is in our patience that we're waiting, learning to wait on God, that we learn who he is and what he can be and how he can be. It is waiting on him. For if he always would come when we call him immediately and quickly and speedily, we would never know him. We would never get to know him and learn him. But it is in our waiting that we learn to trust and God. It is in our waiting and our patience that our faith is developed. In our patience and waiting on him, is that's how our faith is developed. Because if you call him and he come, where would your faith? Where would be the acting of your faith? Or where would be the testing or the trying of your faith if it came right away all the time? So he allows us to wait on him. He said, I heard your cry, I heard your plea, but I need you to wait on me. And see, we have to learn and understand that wait does not always mean no. And delay does not always mean denied. It just simply means the timing has to be right. Everything has to be right, because when God does it, he gets all the glory. Matthew, the 6th chapter, if you will. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning round about the 30th verse, reads as thus. Wherefore, if so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. 31, verse 31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whether all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Before we even ask him, he knows our needs. He said right here in his word, I know what you have needed before you even ask me. I know these things. He said, so I need you to seek ye first, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are going to be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself, of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So the Lord is saying, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow is going to take care of itself. It is not saying to you to sit around and live day by day and plan. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is, don't stress and worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. If on today your food is scarce and scampy, or you only had enough to supply for a meal today, he said, there's no need for you to worry about tomorrow. Why would you stress about tomorrow? If I took care of you today and I fed you today, I'm going to feed you tomorrow. The birds fly here and there. We watch them and they eat, and they take no thought. They take no thought about food, but the Lord provides for them. And he said, how much more
shall he look out for us. Matthew 14, verses 25. And it speaks about this young man named Peter. And Peter was the one that had the courage and the audacity and the nerve enough to say, Lord, wait a minute. It looked like you and it sounds like you, but if it's really you, he said, bid me to come on the water. Now, Jesus, the disciples were in a boat, fishing, doing about their late daily, what they do on their daily lives. Yes, some were fishermen, some were carpenters, some were locksmiths or craftsmen. But here we find that Jesus was coming to the disciples, and as he was coming to the disciples, they saw him walking on the water. The Bible says that the waters did not get boisterous and get troubled until Peter stepped out. Only when Peter's faith was activated that the trouble began to rise. It was only when Peter activated and stepped out on his faith that the Bible said the wind became boisterous, the waves began to beat the ship, to toss the ship, that the men of the ship became worried and fearful. They got scared because they thought it was a spirit walking on the water, but Peter said, wait a minute. This looks like Jesus. This Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This looks like Jesus. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. He told them to be of good cheer. He said, it is me. He said, don't fret. It is me. It is me. Y'all, you're right. It's me. Peter said, let me come to you, Lord, if it's you. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. Just like that, come. Just a second. Come. There was no whole lot of hold on, do this and do that. Now take up and watch this, Peter. When you step up, it was no whole lot of instructions given. Peter asked the question, Lord, bid me to come, and the Lord said to Peter, come. And Peter did what the Lord said, and he went. And it was not until Peter went and stepped out of the boat onto the waters when things begin to get boisterous. Jesus, knowing what was about to take place, was already prepared, was already ready. And the Bible said when Peter took his eyes and his mind and his soul off of Christ, the one that told him to come in the first place, the one that told him, it is by your faith, Peter, come on out here, Peter, Peter, you out here, your faith led you to come on, your faith, come on. When he took his mind and his focus off of Christ, his faith began to weaken because he began to look at the circumstances and the situation around him. Doesn't that sound so familiar today? The Lord have told us to come. We've asked the Lord. We've had the nerve and the audacity to ask the Lord to bid us to come. We've taken on a task. We've taken on an idea. We've encountered in a vision. And the enemy has come and tried to buff and tried to hinder the program. The Lord has already told you to come. Your faith got you out here, Peter. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Your faith got you out here, Peter. Uh-huh. Whether you, Sister Peter or Brother Peter, your faith got you out here. And I told you to come on, not to worry about a thing. But now that you're out here, you seem to have taken your eyes and your focus and your attention off of the one who is in control of the raging sea and the wind all around you. I'm in the one that's in control of the situation that's going on around you, that you can stop it right now. You've taken your eyes and focus off of him, and you seem to focus on what's going on around you. He said, but I need you to catch hold of your faith. Mm-hmm. Lock hold of your faith. If your hands are getting a little sweaty, a little weakened, he said, strengthen your hands and lock hold, get back hold of your faith. Yes. Wrap it around your waist, tie it around your wrist, lock hold of your faith. It is your faith that's going to take you through this. It is your faith that's going to bring you out of this. Your faith, because your faith got you into it. Your faith will get you out of it. And it was Peter's faith. And even though Peter allowed the situation around him to distract him, faith made him touch just for the moment as far as him walking on the water because of the situation. But to me, Peter's faith was yet intact to me because Peter yet knew who to call on when he began to sink. Peter said, Master, hello, I'm sinking. The Lord grabbed forth his hand and caught him. Peter began to sink. But yet he knew, even though I'm sinking, Peter's faith is yet there. But yet, Jesus, even though I took my eyes off of you for that moment and my attention off of you for that moment and I allowed the situation to get me, I realized that the situation, I'm not accepting the situation, is not going to swallow me up. This situation and my circumstance is not going to drive me out. It's not going to kill me because I shall rise again. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached down his hand and lifted Peter and raised him from the sea. The Lord said, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Isn't that amazing? After the Lord allowed Peter to know that I'm yet in control, Peter, nothing's changed. I'm still the Lord, and I still have all power. After they got in the boat, now the storm wants to stop. The wind wants to cease. Now you want to stop blowing now that I'm safe into the ship, now back in the boat now. Now you want to see, that's how the enemy works. But see, we have to hold on to our faith and to know that if God brought us this far, if we walked this far, came this far by faith, he's going to take us on. If he brought us this far, he's going to lead us on all the way. We did not come this far. We did not come this far. Amen. To turn around now. He did not bring us this far to leave us and to turn and walk away from us. He said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. If he was with the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, and they were cast in there bound. Do you hear me? They were cast in the furnace bound. But the Bible says that when the guards went to look in there, when the king said, go check on the boys and see what's going on in the furnace, the Bible said that when they looked at the messenger, when the guards went to look into the furnace, they said, they came back with the report. Well, your majesty, I have this to tell you. I didn't see three boys in there, three young men in the fire furnace. It was four of them. There was four young men in there. They were not bound any longer, but they were walking around. Their hair wasn't burned. Their clothes wasn't burned. None of that. But they were walking around in the furnace. And the fourth one that was in there with the three boys, the fourth one looked like the Son of God. So the Lord said, I'm with you. Even in the midst of the furnace, I'm with you. I'm not sending you in the furnace by yourself. And see, what I love about this story is, he did not deliver them from it. He could have delivered the boys from even going into the furnace and touched the king's mind and the heart, and the story would have been totally changed and totally different. But he said, no, I need to prove and show my people and this people, a doubtful people, a faithless people, a non-believing people, that I am God, and besides me there is none other, that I hold all power in heaven and in earth in my hand, that I am the Alpha and Omega, I am the creator of life. And you tell me who can create life. Man has experimented, but only God can create life. Matthew 17:14. The disciples was out. A young man with the spirit of a lunatic on him, and the disciples prayed to him, and nothing took place. And the Bible says that the man brought his son to Jesus and said, "The Master, would you please do something to my son? Because pray for my son, because I had him brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do nothing for him. And this demon, this spirit of this lunatic, is hurting him, and it's hurting me, and I can't take it anymore. And I hate to see my son." And anyone that has a child that's going through, that suffers from a mental illness or any disability, the anguish and the hurt that's there, that you constantly deal with on a daily basis, this is your baby, and you seem helpless sometimes that you can't do for them and make things right for them and get to make them better. But the Lord, amen, but the Lord had brought his son to the Lord and said, "Master, your disciples could do nothing for my child, but I need you some help. My child needs some help." And the Lord said, "O ye faithless generation." And he brought the boy to Jesus, and Jesus healed the boy and cast that demon out. And he said, "But this kind, your faith, where is your faith, disciple? I walked with you, and all the while that I'm with you, you was okay. But now that I wasn't with you, and I sent you on a mission, something by yourself, now it's a different story. Where's your power? Where's your faith at? The same authority that I've given you when I'm walking with you is the same authority you have when I'm not standing there right by your side. That same thing that you activated, what you was using when I was walking with you and you were healing and touching and delivering, when I was busting with you down the road a bit and then you could look and see me and I was always in your company, the same faith you use when I'm not there, when you don't feel me like you used to feel me, that same faith." And we have to learn that even though we don't feel the Lord like we used to feel him, oh, we felt him in the beginning, or so much of their times the Lord, another dry season comes. And even when we don't feel his presence, we have to have faith to know that he is yet there. He has not left us. Our faith tells us he's with me even when I don't feel his presence. I know that he's with me. For the last scripture tonight, and I'll be closing on tonight, Matthew, the 10th chapter, if you will, Matthew 10 and 46 tonight, and I'll be closing, amen, Mark 10, 36, 10 and 46, amen, and that'll be closing. We thank God tonight, amen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You have to hear the word of God, and how can you hear without a preacher? How can you hear faith without a preacher? And how can the preacher preach except he be sick? So it is a chain of command. It is an order of conduct that God has set up. And you cannot skip 1 and 2 and get to 3. You cannot skip A and B and get to C. So you have to go to the house of God. You have to listen to a preacher, the man of God, who has been delivered the word of God, that you can have the faith to walk upright before God in these last days, that you can have the faith to stand and to face these obstacles and these battles that the enemy is throwing at you. You need the faith tonight to stand. Father God, touch your people everywhere. Give them the mind to want to seek your faith and to give them the faith, oh God, ever-increasing faith, oh God, to trust and depend on you, to lean on you, to get back into the place where they once were, back what the enemy has taken from them. God, give them the strength to know that you're a God that's able to do it now, and when you call them that you will answer, oh God. Touch, heal, and deliver, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, strengthen the minds and the faith of your people everywhere and give them to know that you're a God that moves, that you're a God that heals, and you're a God that answers prayers. We thank and we praise you, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, we name on tonight. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. We look forward to talking to you again on next week. God bless you in Jesus' name. Be blessed and know that God loves you, and so do I.